VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we do thank you for joining us, folks. We've got a critical information program today here on Crosstalk. We invite you to stay tuned and listen. Last Friday, the U.S. Department of Homeland Security issued a National Terrorism Advisory Bulletin, implying that if Americans question and challenge the COVID shot mandates, that they are now considered potential domestic violent extremists. Additionally, those who are making claims of election fraud are also suspect of being a domestic terrorist. Never mind the many who are crossing our borders illegally. Never mind those who adhere to Sharia entering our nation. Never mind the BLM and Antifa riots and takeover of cities that's occurring. Never mind those who are targeting law enforcement agencies. No, that's okay. Just don't challenge the COVID injection. We've got a world on fire with the advancement of Islam. The terrorism that's going on. Americans, literally, their lives are at stake right now, at risk in Afghanistan. Christian believers are being killed just for being a believer in Christ, just for having a Bible on their phone app. Our enemies are mocking us as a nation. Hamas is congratulating the Taliban for defeating the United States. China is taunting Taiwan, saying, "You think the U.S. is going to protect you? Ha, ha, ha." China is gaining in its strength and taking control over ports, precious minerals, and so much more. And there's not a concern there. The concern to freedom-loving citizens demanding truth in all that COVID's and the shot-related, you're the one who may be a potential domestic violent extremist, a terrorist. Well, joining us today, we welcome back Matt Staver, the founder and chairman of Liberty Council. Matt, I appreciate you joining us today, and if this doesn't shake up people regarding their constitutional freedoms, I don't know what it'll take.
Well, Jim, I know, and we've never seen anything in our lifetime like this. We are being inundated, overwhelmed with thousands of calls over these mandatory shots where people are being forced, and now they're being forced to either take them or be terminated or kicked out of school, even if they're in their last semester. And people have reasonable beliefs and bases and scientific information and data to suggest that these shots are not what they want to put in their body, either that they're not safe or that they're not effective, and in this case, they're neither safe nor effective. And the data is becoming overwhelming on that. And even the CDC is beginning to recognizing that these shots are not effective. They're wearing off. I don't know if they ever had any good effect, but they're wearing off. And now for people to have, quote, vaccine hesitancy, some kind of resistance, if you will, you now put on a terror watch list right along with others what doesn't appear on there, interestingly, are the radical Islamic extremists. But what you do have are individuals who believe that there was not a fair election in 2020 on this list, and people who are opposing the government mandates with regards to the shots. The government mandates with regards to the shots. That now makes you, quote, a domestic violent extremist, a DVE, according to the Department of Homeland Security. And, you know, I would not have thought this was true if I just heard it. Because the first time I saw that, I wondered, well, is somebody kind of exaggerating that? And I went and I looked at the bulletin from the DHS, the National Terrorism Advisory System. It was issued on Friday, August the 13th, this, interestingly. Summary of terrorism threat to the U.S. homeland, and they have it laid out verbatim in their document.
Yeah, they do, and this is expiring in November 11th. But, Matt, they're especially talking about leading up to, you know, and following the 20th anniversary of the 9/11-2001 terror attack upon the United States. But this is something that, it's not against Islamic terrorism. I mean, the bulletin just barely mentions Al-Qaeda. I look through the bulletin. There's no mention of Hamas. There's no mention of the Taliban. But don't question the election. Don't question the mandated shots. Don't question what the CDC is saying. But, you know, we are just topsy-turvy here in our nation.
I know it is. You know, it says These threats include those posed by domestic terrorists. This is the bulletin I'm reading from it. These threats include those posed by domestic terrorists, individuals and groups engaged in grievance-based violence. Such threats are also exacerbated by impacts of the ongoing global pandemic, including grievances over public health safety measures and perceived government restrictions. So if you have some issue with the government restrictions and the grievances over the, quote, public health safety measures, then you're listed as one of these suspected domestic violent extremists. Now, look at what we're talking about. The CDC has changed its position multiple times. And just recently, within the last month, they said, oh, these shots are safe and effective. And by the way, they said, oh, 99% of all those who are going to the hospital, you know what? They don't have the shot, so you need to get the shots. And then they came out and they mandated it first with the VA, and then they twisted the law with the DOJ that says the federal law that indicates clearly you have the, quote, option to accept or refuse, close quote, means that we have to tell you you have the option to refuse, and then once we do, you can't refuse. And so they're forcing this. And so we're seeing a flood of people, I mean thousands of people contacting us. And we are being overwhelmed. These are people in the healthcare industry, students in school. They're in every sector of employment. And these are men and women in the military. I have one individual in the military who says he and others signed up right after 9/11 because they wanted to fight for our country. They didn't have their youth stolen. They voluntarily gave it up. They've missed birthdays and Christmases and various events with their family. And they did it because they love America. They've shed blood. They've seen their comrades shed blood, die, and be dismembered. They love America. Now they're being told, if you don't get these shots, you're going to be court-martialed and dishonorably discharged. If you're not upset about that, then I don't know what would upset you. But if you're upset about it, then you're going to be considered a domestic violent extremist by the very government that's forcing these mandates.
Matt, could you review for us once again? I believe you did this last time, but it's important even for the basis of this. Review the Nuremberg Code. What is this code? What does that code say that's supposed to give protection?
Yeah, the Nuremberg Code came out of the horrible experiments against people's will in the 1930s and 40s by the Nazis. So in 1947, the Nuremberg Code was adopted. It has 10 principles, and those 10 principles, we're violating every single one of those principles. The first principle actually begins with that the individual must have, quote, voluntary consent. It says that voluntary consent is, quote, absolutely essential. That, quote, voluntary consent is absolutely essential. That's principle number one, and then everything flows out of that. And really, that is the principle of any medical treatment, really, and this is universal. And so what this code says, Nuremberg Code, is we don't ever want to repeat this dark history. Never experiment on people again, unless, of course, they voluntarily consent to be part of that experiment. And some people choose to do that with regards to experimental treatment. They're fully informed, they make a decision, and they're going to do it, either out of altruism or there's just no other possible treatment left available for their condition, and this is a treatment of last resort. Well, these shots are still under the emergency use authorization. That means that they are under, quote, what the FDA says, investigational and experimental. Anything under EUA is investigational and experimental. It has experimental as part of what it is. And the reason is because we just don't have the data. Because it takes 10 years or more for vaccine development, at least 5 years for testing. And that would be a very quick process, 10 years, 5 years of testing. Typically, 93% of them plus percent never even make it to the deployment phase because they fail along the way in some aspect of this development. So this particular one came in from beginning to end in 8 to 9 months. And so the FDA gave what's called the emergency use authorization. We don't have enough data. In fact, they didn't test pregnant women. They didn't test certain elderly people. They didn't test certain comorbidities. They didn't test young people. Lots of people never got tested. And never in the history have they deployed something or recommended something to be used by a segment of people who were never in the testing phase. So this came out under the emergency use authorization. It's experimental and investigational. Anything experimental and investigational must require your voluntary consent. And now what we're doing is it started less than 4 weeks ago with the VA under Biden mandating these shots on all of the healthcare workers, then all of the VA workers, then the federal workers, then some states got involved, and then an avalanche of private companies are doing the same thing, thinking that the Biden administration says it's okay to do it.
Yes.
I mean, this is absolute lawlessness, and it violates every principle of the Nuremberg Code. Jim, we are repeating this dark history that the Nuremberg Code said never go back to that point in history. Close the door on this forced procedure going against voluntary consent. And that's exactly what we're doing right now.
And matter of fact, right now, Matt, you are having a lot of victories, a lot of exemptions that you've been able to grant for individuals, but it's like the floodgates are open.
Yeah, it is. It's kind of like bailing out the bottom of a ship, and you're able to keep up with it for a while, and then the boards start just breaking off one at a time at the bow and underneath, and it starts to disintegrate. And that's essentially part of what we're experiencing. Let me just give you a magnitude of what we're talking about. We're talking about thousands of people, and some of those thousands of people that we're working with now represent thousands themselves. Let me just give one example or a couple of examples. One hospital has 23,000 people. One person from the hospital that we're working with, coordinating with other people, represents about 19,000 of those individuals. 80-plus percent of those individuals at that 23,000-member hospital do not want to get these shots. Another one has 14,000 people. 66% of those individuals don't want to get the shots. We're working with people at United Airlines, and a week ago it started with 675 people. Then that was on a Tuesday. By Thursday morning, it's 1,000 plus. By Monday of this week, it's over 2,000. Right now, it's probably near 3,000. And that includes everybody from pilot down to the rampers. These people don't want it. They have lived through this. Look, I have an EMS worker who just pulled a 24-hour shift, and she said one in five calls that they're now getting is vaccine injuries, injuries related to these shots, not COVID, injuries related to the shots. One in five calls that this EMS worker is getting, I'm hearing that from other EMS workers as well. And now she's being told she loves this job. She's ridden in the back of the EMS with people suffering from these adverse reactions from these shots, and now she's being told, inject the same thing into your body or be terminated.
Oh, my.
I have a mother. She's in her 40s. She's one semester away from finishing her nursing degree. She just got a couple weeks notice, get the shot or be expelled, and the deadline is in the next couple of days. She doesn't want the shot. I have a husband and wife. They both work at the same company. She's pregnant with a newborn baby soon to be. They're being told, get the shots or be fired. And she already knows about the 1,300 plus or so individuals that have already had miscarriages after having these shots. And then the mothers who actually gave birth, who had the shots, that breastfed their children, that even some of those children died or have had and are suffering right now adverse reactions from the breastfeeding from the shots.
Matt,
so it is a terrible situation that's happening.
Matt Staver with us here today from Liberty Council. And the Department of Homeland Security has a new warning about domestic violent extremists. You oppose these COVID mandates? Better watch out. You just might make yourself on the list. Back in a moment, you're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, author and seminar speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, we see right-to-life efforts all over the news these days. What does the Bible say about this?
Chris, the Bible is clear. Humankind is created in the image of God with great value and worth in His sight and is to be respected and protected. At conception, the embryo takes on human status, although not yet completely grown. The Bible discusses how the growing embryo as an individual has feelings and on some occasions even expresses itself. When a pregnant woman was injured in Bible times, such that the baby lost its life, there were consequences to be faced. The Bible doesn't give us all the details, but there's enough there to be certain that the unborn child is a viable human person and must be protected. Chris, the Back to Genesis way of thinking helps us understand modern issues.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
I mean, folks, it showed right up on the television screen with the NBC News logo from Department of Homeland Security, potential terror threats, opposition to COVID measures, claims of election fraud, belief Trump can be reinstated, 9/11 anniversary and religious holidays. Joining us today, Matt Staver from Liberty Counsel, founder and chairman there. He's a constitutional attorney. Matt, tell us more about this bulletin, that points you'd like to comment on.
Sure, and I mentioned I was a little bit low on the number of miscarriages. It's now 1,505, and that number goes up every week. And again, those numbers are actually less than 1% of actual, so you have to really multiply that by a factor of at least 90 to get what's really happening.
Let me just interject here. Okay, so OpenVARES, as of August 6th, is showing 12,791 deaths, 51,242 hospitalizations, 70,666 to urgent care, 95,887 office visits, 5,282 anaphylaxis, 4,461 Bell's palsy. Then it goes into miscarriages, 1,505, heart attacks, 5,590, myocarditis and pericarditis, 4,371. Those left permanently disabled, Matt, 16,044. The list goes on, but very troubling numbers that are coming forth here, 13,140 with life-threatening conditions.
Yeah. And you know what? I mentioned United employees. Yeah, there's a what's called a letter of agreement for pilots where they're trying to give an incentive. Now, obviously, they're mandating it by a certain date to get these shots. In the same letter of agreement, the LOA, in the same one where we're giving them incentives, now they're mandating it, it says that if you suffer an adverse reaction, then you're eligible for 90 days paid benefits. And if it goes beyond 90 days, you can apply for long-term disability benefits.
Oh,
now, that gives you a lot of comfort when
That's
you're flying and you got somebody up there, and United actually is saying, everyone gets the shots. But they also are recognizing, you know what, these people, the pilots, I mean everybody, but the pilots of all people, could suffer these heart attacks, blood clots, while they're flying the aircraft. Who's going to fly it?
People have suddenly collapsed.
Go ahead.
I said people have suddenly collapsed. I mean, right in the midst of something, and just collapse, having the blood clot coming in or a heart attack or something based upon, you know, as we see adverse reactions. Now, CDC will say, you know, we're still studying this to, you know, we're finding, you know, there's many excuses. No, it's not really tied to the COVID shot, but Matt, I tell you, it is something that people have got to perk up and notice what's going on here.
I know, and doesn't it give you a lot of comfort that you can fly the friendly skies of United and the actual agreement? Now they're saying everyone has to get the shot, but they actually have already stated that, you know what, these pilots might suffer adverse reactions, and they might become permanently disabled. And, you can get your benefits, but what about the aircraft? What about the people in the plane? I mean, this is unbelievable. This Department of Homeland Security bulletin continues. It says this: these extremists, these people that are vaccine hesitant, you know, they don't want to have this COVID shot, whatever they label they put on this. Facebook calls them vaccine hesitant. But these are people who are just exercising reasonable knowledge about these shots. They don't want them. It says these extremists may seek to exploit the emergence of COVID-19 variants by viewing the potential reestablishment of public health restrictions across the United States as a rationale to conduct attacks. Pandemic-related stressors have contributed to increased societal strains and tensions, driving several plots by domestic violent extremists, and they may contribute to more violence this year. You know, these lockdowns and this masking and now the forced shots, they didn't work. If you go look at, for example, Israel, just as an example, one of the most highly percentage places on the planet where people have gotten both shots, and now they're having more Delta virus breakout in Israel than at any time in the peak of the COVID pandemic. And that's the same thing happening in Gibraltar, which they say is 100%, quote, vaccinated of the adults. Iceland and Israel, for example, they're very highly percentage-wise with the shots. They just got placed on the CDC's warning list not to fly there because the Delta variant is getting out of control in those places. And you know what? Even the CDC chair said, well, you know what, we're finding, unfortunately, that these shots are not working like we had hoped they were working. So all of this nonsense of locking down, and in fact, if you go look at some of the nations where they didn't lock down, you know what, the charts are going opposite in terms of, instead of those places where you had lockdowns and now you have high shot ratio, you're having these spikes that are going vertical, and other nations that didn't do the social distancing, didn't do the masking, didn't do the mandatory shots, you're having the opposite inverted, where the infection rate is going down. We've done everything backwards in this that we have normally done for previous pandemic preparedness. We've done everything different. And so it's not about this COVID shot. It's about ultimate control. And now you're seeing this control literally destroy our country. I've never seen anything in my life where you have such overt coercion to put something in your body. And if you don't agree with it, I mean, you can have different views on these shots. That's your prerogative. You can be for them, you can be against them. But nobody should be forced to inject a substance, particularly these substances, into their body. And yet people with 1 to 2 years of work left before they get to retirement, people that are in the military that are approaching their 20th year anniversary and their retirement, they're being told, get the shots or get out. You know, the healthcare workers that have run to the front line for months and months, they're being told, you're not heroes anymore. You're going to be terminated and out on the street. You know, where are all these hospitals going to get healthcare workers? And, you know, now we're seeing all the violence in Afghanistan. I think it really comes down to the same thing. This administration doesn't care about human life. And you see the tragedies in Afghanistan. It just makes you weep. And they don't care about human life here. No. This is not about protecting life. It's about forcing people. And many of these people that will be forced will ultimately get these substances, and they may become one of those statistics on the VAERS chart.
And folks, it should be just word enough itself here from the Biden administration how they advanced abortion at, you know, with the stroke of the pen on Inauguration Day. No, there is not a regard for life coming from this administration. And Matt, I know that you couple this with other things that are going on. Bill Gates is behind this, and yeah. Bill Gates has been talking about. I tell you what, I'm gonna do it. I aired it last Friday. We're gonna air it again here. This is a 90-second clip of Bill Gates talking about if we're doing really good at vaccine. Nation, we're going to limit the population. I mean, listen to Bill Gates. This is a compilation of four clips, 90 seconds long.
First, we've got population. Now, the world today has 6.8 billion people. That's headed up to about 9 billion. Now, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, health care, reproductive health services, we could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%. But there we see an increase of about 1.3.
$10 billion over the next 10 years to make it the year of the vaccines. What does that mean exactly?
Well, over this decade, we believe unbelievable progress can be made, both inventing new vaccines and making sure they get out to all the children who need them. We could cut the number of children who die every year from about 9 million to half of that if we have success on it. And the benefits there in terms of reducing sickness, reducing the population growth, it really allows the society a chance to take care of itself once you've made that intervention.
But if we go back to the key metrics, which is, you know, what the foundation looks at on all its stuff, can we drop the number of children who die per year in half and get the reduction in sickness and population growth that comes with that? That is sort of front of mind all the time.
Yeah. We've seen now there's a type of foreign assistance for vaccines or for AIDS treatment that are incredibly effective. These are all about saving lives. And the good news is that as you make those breakthroughs, the population growth in the country goes down. These are all about saving lives.
All about saving lives, Matt. These are four different clips from four different times. Reducing population growth comes with it. You know, how do we comport those things together with saving lives?
You know, because in that first one, the TED Talk, it has a four-point plan to get carbon emissions down to zero. So the other three have to be zero. I mean, in order to get zero, you have to have zero plus zero plus zero. And three of those four are obviously zero. The first one, though, starts off with human population and people. So obviously I understand how he's going to reduce people through what he calls reproductive care, which is abortion, to put abortion out there worldwide and fund it. But vaccines, how does that? It seems like, well, if it's going to make people healthier, live longer, that's the rhetoric. How does that comport with reducing population, which he says it has to be done?
Yeah.
And he's talking about up to 15%. So you take 15% of 7 billion, and you're at 1 billion people. About 1 billion people, and then if you're moving up to 9 billion, you're over 1 billion. That's a lot of people to reduce, and you know, to do it by his timetable to reduce carbon emissions down to zero by at least no later than 2050, you got to have a drastic reduction in human population. So how does vaccines play in that? Well, I heard him have that question asked to him. Isn't it contraindicated that vaccines will make people healthier, supposedly, and live longer, supposedly? And he goes, well, you know, if we do a good job, you can vaccinate these children, and less children will die so that you won't have to birth as many children. But look at this. If you're birthing 10 children and five of them die, and you net five children, you have five children. Whether you start off birthing five and they all live because they're, quote, healthy, and you don't need 10 to work on the farm, for example, but now instead you get 10, but they die and you end up with five. Five is five. It doesn't matter whether you have five and five die or you only get five at the very beginning. Five is five. So it doesn't reduce human population at all. It doesn't reduce it. How does it reduce it? Well, we know, for example, what we do know is that these spike proteins in all three shots, Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson, one of the early studies, a Japanese study that's now been translated, shows that there is a heavy concentration of these spike proteins in the ovaries. Now, why does it go to the ovaries? I wonder why these women are having such high rates of miscarriages. I wonder why Pfizer is looking at infertility and miscarriages, and then also looking at the health of the baby after it's born, and that's in their original protocol document. Because I think that these clearly are going to bring infertility, they're bringing miscarriages, and they'll ultimately reduce human population.
Matt Staver with us here today from Liberty Counsel. And Matt, we're going to take a look at another aspect of this, and I know we've got just a minute before the break, but here is the CDC. This is a headline from LifeSite News on August 17th, 2021. The CDC discussed strategy to isolate people inside refugee camps to stop COVID-19. The so-called shielding approach of near total isolation may prove effective in preventing COVID-19 infection, the agency said last July. The article goes on from there, but talks about having these camps that are used to do this. We also see right now on the Army's website, Go Army, that they are recruiting for internment and resettlement specialist for the Army. And then we couple this with the executive order that came out from the governor of Tennessee just last week. August 6th is the date of this. And he is calling for temporary quarantine and isolation facilities may be constructed. Matt, this is a terrible thing to give you just seconds from the break. So you think about that. We're going to discuss that right after the break. Matt Staver from Liberty Counsel with us here today as the Department of Homeland Security has this new warning, domestic violent extremists. Do you disagree with the mandates coming down from the governor or from the president and from the CDC and National Institutes of Health? Do you take issue with trusting the vote as it happened this past November? Guess what? You're branded to be as a potential extremist. Back with more after the break. This is Crosstalk.
Having to prove the existence of God to an atheist is like having to prove the existence of the sun at noon on a clear day. Yet millions are embracing the foolishness of atheism. Now from Ray Comfort comes The Atheist Delusion. This 60-minute DVD pulls back the curtain and reveals what is going on in the mind of those who deny the obvious. It introduces you to a number of atheists who you'll follow as they go where the evidence leads, find a roadblock, and enter into a place of honesty that is rarely seen on film. You'll hear the compelling questions that cause them to doubt their atheism. You can obtain one copy of The Atheist Delusion for a donation of $5, 5 copies for a donation of $18, or 10 copies for a donation of $25 by calling 1-800-729-9829. Simply call VCY America at 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
It's a critical information program with Matt Staver from Liberty Counsel today on Crosstalk. Folks, you heard the question before the break asking about what is coming forth with, like, the executive order coming from the governor of Tennessee here for these isolation centers, the military recruiting for internment and resettlement specialists, and the CDC discussing strategy to isolate people inside refugee camps to stop COVID-19. Matt, your thoughts on these things?
Well, the first time I saw something about this CDC, what they call a shielding plan or the isolation that you're talking about, I thought, well, you know what, I need to just double check to see if that's really true. And sure enough, it's on the CDC website. In fact, we actually have it now, and we have it saved internally in case the CDC removes it. But it's still, to this moment, as we speak, on the CDC website. You can go find it by going to lc.org/vaccine and scroll down to the CDC section, and you're going to see some things about the CDC, and you're going to find that link. You can go right to it, and you can read it yourself. It's called the shielding plan, and its shielding plan is designed to forcibly remove and isolate people using schools, churches, shipping containers, and even your private homes. What do I mean by that? That you could be moved from your private home. You could be separated from your children. They even acknowledge that and the stress that that will cause, but they acknowledge that they may need to do it. And it's for those suspected of having COVID or for those that have mild or moderate COVID symptoms, not for those that have significant COVID symptoms. So you can be suspected of having COVID, and if you're a child, you can be removed from the home, or if you're a mother, removed from the home. And if you're a single parent, for example, and there's nobody to care for the child, then the child's going to be placed someplace else. So you can actually have, under this document, they talk about putting people in private homes. So you might have a, quote, COVID-free home, and somebody needs to be moved from one place to another, and they might put that person in your private home. I'm not exaggerating this. I wish I were, but here's some quotes from the CDC document. Separating families and disrupting and deconstructing multi-generational households, that means breaking up moms and dads from their kids, and grandpa and grandmother as well, whoever, and deconstructing multi-generational households may have long-term negative consequences. You think? That's what they say. They go, restricting gender norms may be exacerbated by isolation strategies such as shielding. At the household level, isolating individuals and limiting their interaction, compounded with social and economic disruption, has raised concerns of potential increased risk of partner violence. Households participating in house swaps or sector-wide cohorting are at particular risk for gender-based violence, harassment, abuse, and exploitation, as remaining household members may not be decision makers or responsible for household needs. They go through what the impact of what they're saying is, and they're just saying, be aware of it. We understand that it could be disrupting to separate and deconstruct multi-generational households, and it may have a long-term negative effect. Now, you want to agree with that? Go right ahead. Be my guest. But if you want to disagree with it, then they're going to say, well, you know, you're using the COVID-19 variant, Delta variant or whatever, to have some distrust against the government. Well, how can you trust the government when the CDC has a document on its website like that? I mean, that sounds like some foreign country.
Matt, I find it also interesting, this report from Breitbart that came out August 12th indicating that Pfizer is not mandating that their employees receive the shot.
Yeah, neither is Moderna nor Johnson & Johnson. None of the three drug makers that are making billions and billions, hundreds of billions of dollars, are mandating their employees to get the shot. Now, that's pretty interesting, isn't it? Neither is the White House supposedly not mandating. The Biden administration has said, well, yeah, we're not going to mandate the people. But then they're mandating everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the interesting thing is that some of the Pfizer executives a couple months ago, they were going to fly into Israel to have a meeting with when Bibi Netanyahu was the prime minister, and they were prohibited from going into Israel. You know why? Because they didn't have the shots. We're talking about high-level Pfizer executives.
Yeah.
Didn't have their own shots, and they couldn't go into Israel.
Meaning, and also, Matt, the former vice president at Pfizer, urging women, expectant women, not to get the shot. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know how many more times and how many more doctors it's going to take for people to understand that those who are in the know on this really are not following what that CDC guidance is all about.
Right, yeah. Dr. Mike Yeadon,
he was
the chief scientist of Pfizer and vice president of respiratory. We've interviewed him on your radio program there that we've aired on your program, Faith and Freedom. And he's an incredible individual. He's never, you know, been attached to any cause, but he began looking at this and he goes, oh, no, don't take this. Don't take it, not only for pregnant women, but nobody should take it. Robert Malone, who was instrumental in helping to create this mRNA technology that Pfizer and Moderna use, he also says, no way, don't take this either, because it and he has some real dire warnings about the consequences of not only the short-term but long-term consequences with regards to health and even death.
Matt, there are people wondering, because we're seeing this all over the globe taking place. I saw some are calling this vaccination camps. Australian government builds mandatory quarantine facilities. Just recently in New Zealand, they detected one person with the Delta variant, and they've shut down the entire nation. I mean, putting some communities in quarantine for 7 days, others for 3 days, because they found one person in New Zealand with the Delta variant.
Yeah, you know, and adding these three together, CNN's Don Lemon,
yeah,
Obama's former national security advisor who wrote an article in The Atlantic, which is owned by the widow of Apple founder Steve Jobs, and Mayor de Blasio of New York, between those three, they've all said that those who don't have the shots should be prohibited from working, buying groceries, going to public places, outside gatherings, and also be placed on a no-fly list. And a Democrat in the House, United States House, has now filed a bill to ban people from flying who do not have the COVID shots.
Wow. Wow.
Man. And, you know, we already have people right now, Jim, nurses that are calling us that say, you know, that they're being mandated. And they worked through months without any shots. And some of them got COVID, some of them didn't. And now they're being told, get the shot. And they've treated people who have been injured from shots or died from shots. And so they're saying, well, they're telling us, okay, if you get a religious exemption, you have to wear a separate colored badge.
Yes.
In other words, you'll be identified
mm-hmm.
as someone who doesn't have the shot. Doesn't that remind you of the Yellow Star? I mean, we actually have the daughter of a Holocaust survivor who said, you know, my father survived Auschwitz. And she said, we've always gotten the vaccines. She says, we are Jewish. My father survived Auschwitz. We always had the childhood vaccines, but this one is different. And she goes on to talk about how her daughter is a nurse at a major hospital in New York, and she's being forced to get the shots. And she says the staff are, quote, terrified to take it because of all the complications people are having from it. She does not see, or she does see, the side effects from her own patients.
Matt, when does this rise up to the courts, the appellate courts, the U.S. Supreme Court, to weigh in on some of the things that we're seeing right now and these mandates and so forth taking place?
Well, we need to get the case that's actually set up ready to go. When it comes to an employment case, say in the private sector, for example, you've got to obviously request religious exemption to begin with, for example. And then if it's denied, then we have to immediately file an EEOC complaint and then get that and then file suit. Mm. Once we get in court, we can go really quickly. So we've been very close to being in court a number of times, but the entities backed down at the 11th hour when they really realized we were serious. But we may have go to court very quickly with Maine. We sent a demand letter to Maine. The Maine governor has come out. And we have litigation, by the way, going on in Maine. Still, it's spinning at the Supreme Court regarding Calvary Chapel, Bangor, Maine, with Pastor King Graves. But in Maine, the governor just came out this week and said, all healthcare workers, private and public, need to get the shots or you'll be terminated. And you don't have any rights to resist it. And so we're, before we file suit, we're wanting to make sure, are you really meaning that? That there's no legal recourse for this? And that, if that's your position, it will be in court early next week. And if that's the case, we'll be up to the Supreme Court quickly with that case.
Matt, I've even heard of, and I don't have the specific example before me right now, but those who are saying, yes, we are giving exemptions now, but once it becomes authorized use, then we are going to make it mandatory. It's not going to be, you know, we're not going to allow these exemptions at that point.
We just had a case that we were working with one of our affiliate attorneys, and we had sent a demand letter to the Edward Villa College of Osteopathic Medicine in Louisiana. They were doing the same thing. They said no exemptions, and then they finally said, okay, after being forced to acknowledge what the law is, okay, we'll give you an exemption, but it's only going to be temporary until EUA. And then when that happens, where we get fully licensed, it's not going to work anymore. And then they gave all these restrictions. You have to be masked, you have to be tested, blah, 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 all these different things that would not happen to people who got the shots. Well, a federal court just this week issued an injunction against the school, and the school, I'm sure, now regrets what it has ultimately done, because now it is required to allow all these individuals, they can no longer treat them unequally, they can't require them to get the shots, and they can't treat those who choose not to get the shots unequally to those who do get the shots. So it's one of the first court victories in the country. We'll see whether or not the College of Osteopathic Medicine appeals it, and if they do, we'll be up at the Court of Appeals quite quickly.
Friends, time is short, but we're going to allow some time for quick questions here of Matt Staver from Liberty Counsel. Our number, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. And Matt, I know you just had a victory with Advocate Health, also known as Advocate Aurora Health. They're actually having to revise their exemption form because of your getting involved.
Well, we've done that to Loyola University, and we've gotten a bunch of students involved and re-enrolled that actually got expelled. But for Aurora Health, which is it has 70,000 employees in Illinois and in Michigan, we just sent them a demand letter, Jim, today. So that's still ongoing. We have demanded, because what they've done is they've told their people, no religious exemptions and don't give me anything about aborted fetal cells.
Okay. My correction then. So you're demanding that they must revise their exemption form.
Exactly. Okay. We're demanding that they have to revise it, and they have to let us know by tomorrow. If they don't, that will be a lawsuit that will be beginning at the beginning of the week next week. Because what they're telling their employees, they have 70,000 employees, and this is supposed to be a, quote, religious school, you know, or a religious hospital at some distant past. Obviously, they're not acting religious. But I think it had underpinnings many, many years ago, and it's gone away from that, obviously. But they say that you can't even bring up the aborted fetal cell. We're not going to listen to it. Well, you know what? A lot of people have moral, religious objections to having any kind of relationship to anything that uses aborted fetal cell, and all three of these shots, Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson, used aborted fetal cell in their testing, their development, some aspect of their process. You know, Proverbs chapter 6 talks about how God hates certain things. He calls them an abomination. An abomination. That word is a very interesting study in the Hebrew and in the English. And one of the things that's an abomination is the shedding of innocent blood.
Yes, yes. We're going to take a quick break. Our phone lines are packed, so we'll go to the phone calls right after we get into our final segment here. Matt Staver from Liberty Counsel. Check out their site, folks, lc.org/vaccine. lc.org/vaccine. Back in a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. On Sunday, August 15th, 2021, my friend and broadcast partner, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung of Prophecy Today, went home to be with the Lord. It was a quick sickness, just a matter of days. In fact, 2 weeks to the day that he died, he was preaching in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And then he passed away after having complications from COVID. Dr. DeYoung has a long global ministry. From Day of Discovery to his own ministry, Prophecy Today, he reached untold millions. His greatest love was teaching the Bible, the Word of God, and he did it faithfully and consistently. His helpmate, Judy, his wife of 60-plus years, was by his side, and they traveled literally all over the world together. His children walk with the Lord and continue his ministry. What a great heritage. The Bible says a special blessing comes with those who seek to understand prophecy. I believe today Jimmy DeYoung is receiving his blessed reward.
Matt Stavers with us today from Liberty Counsel. Friends, you've got information. Would you take this link to this program? Send it to others. It'll be up posted on our site within a couple hours. Send the link out to others. Make them aware of the information that you've learned today. If you don't have that capability, you want hard copy CDs, we make them available for donation of $6. Call our switchboard at 800-729-9829. Let's go to Maryland. We have Laura calling. Laura, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for this opportunity to speak. I just want to say this is just beyond human influence. This is sinister and wicked and evil, and we anybody who has been with the sentence of a Christian knows what this is setting the platform for.
Right, right.
It's the mark.
No, you're right. It's the most evil thing and sinister thing that I recall seeing in my history of life here on Earth. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
It really is unbelievable. Both what's happening here and what we see, the tragedy unfolding in Afghanistan, it all stems from pure evil and the destruction of innocent human life.
Thank you, Laura. Dominique is next. Muquanago, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Hello, thank you so much for taking my call. Matt, I sent you an email this morning about this, but last week we did that walkout Wednesday at my husband's airline, and then this week we went to our local hospital, and we had pro-healthcare workers. They even came out to thank us for being there to support them, and they said they were going to hold the line and you know, get fired or whatever, and they said they're being threatened that there's going to be a job fair the day after the deadline. I said, where are they going to suddenly materialize from? They're understaffed as it is, and you know, she thought that was a really good point. But one of the things that I'm concerned about that I would just like to run past you, with all of these religious exemptions that we're all having to fill out to keep these jobs, and I believe the healthcare industry is probably like the front lines of this battle because they see what's really happening and the media is not getting to them. Mm-hmm. You know, so
you're
I think
exactly
if they could
right.
hold the line, it would be incredible. Yeah. But when we're filling out these religious exemption forms, aren't we? Isn't it possible that it's literally a data gathering campaign to place all of us on watch list? I mean, when they had the health ambassadors going around door to door, I wasn't going to answer it and talk to them and
okay.
all of that. And so now here
thank
we are.
You,
I understand your point. You know, it's I think they already know that anyway. Certainly, you know, they know that from social media. They know that from other situations. I think they already know who's who, and it's going to be very easy to determine. I think you've got to fill out the religious freedom exemption because really it's life and death. I mean, it is literally life and death. And for many of these people, I mean, they're just literally terminated, kicked out of the school, or discharged from the military dishonorably. I mean, it's just unbelievable. It's insane. Nobody should be treated like this.
I think there's strength in numbers as well, Matt, when you have, you know, 40% of hospitals saying we're quitting if this goes into effect. I mean, that has a huge reconsideration factor for the administration.
And I can tell you, a lot of the healthcare workers I've talked to, they're not compromising. They're not budging. They've already made a decision, and they know, like you just said, they see it. They not only have held the hands of people who have COVID, they've held the hands of people who've had the COVID shots, and they see it, and they don't want it, and they've lived through it without the shots, and they're not going to budge. So these hospitals will not. We already have a shortage of nurses. We already have a phenomenon called traveling nurses. They travel from hospital to hospital to try to fill the need. There is no way in the world these hospitals, this healthcare industry, can operate with the large number of people that ultimately will be terminated if they're not accommodated and this doesn't come to an end.
Thank you, Dominique. I wish we had more time. Others are waiting. Jeremy in Erie, Pennsylvania, you're on the air.
Hi, Matt. Nice talking to you again. Just had a quick question. I'm a local school board member. I've shared your wonderful website with many parents and also teachers in my school district. The one question I had is, I'm getting pushback now about masks. Our county executive is supposedly making an announcement on masks are going to be mandated. Is that something that you guys work on, or is that allowed?
Well, right now, you know, it's kind of like triage. We're literally doing legal triage, and really the most highest priority, because we have so much volume. We're just really focusing on the shots right now, getting people the freedom of not being able to be forced to have these substances in their body, be able to live and work mm-hmm. and serve our country and go to school. We'll get to that, but we can't touch that yet. So we're really looking at kind of like what you would see in a MASH situation. We're doing that from a legal situation mm-hmm. to go to the most urgent life-threatening need.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Perfect. Thank you.
Let's go to a caller from Arizona. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to say it's obvious that our government is compromised, our military is compromised. I mean, where do we go from here after, you know, people send us, the military comes in, send us all the FEMA camps? Like, we all need to, like, join a militia, band together, obviously get a lot of weapons.
I tell you what, we're not talking about amassing of weapons here. Matt, sure, what can people do? What do they, how can they protect themselves from these mandates?
Well, you can go to lc.org, and click on the Legal Help tab, Legal Help, right there on the front page, lc.org, click on Legal Help, and you can fill out the Legal Help form. We'll be in contact with you. We'll send you an email. We're doing weekly or daily telephone conference calls to do Q&A. There's a video for you to watch there before you do the telephone conference, and there's lots of different options for religious exemption letters. Put them in your own word. That's the first thing you need to do. Prepare your request for a religious exemption. Do that, and there's a lot of options to give you ideas. And so that's the beginning, and that's step one.
Thank you so much. And, you know, I guess this is, again, showing the importance of getting out for voting at school board elections and city council meetings and for the mayors and county offices. These are where so many of these things are being instituted. Connie in Milwaukee, you're a final caller. You're on the air.
Hi. I heard yesterday, I read that Biden ordered all nursing home employees throughout the country to get the vaccination, or else no more Medicaid or Medicare help. Do you think that next he's going to go for Social Security payments?
Wow.
You know, I've had that question, and I don't know. I wouldn't put it past him. But what he said was, yeah, he said he's going to ask the Department of Health and Human Services to go ahead and issue a new rule to stop federal funding to any of these nursing homes that are not fully, quote, vaccinated. You know, we're working with 50 employees at a nursing home down in Fort Myers, Florida. Their last day will be Monday if we don't get an exemption for them. But what this will do, even though I think Biden will be challenged and certainly will challenge him if that happens, the problem is, what you're going to see a lot of these nursing homes are going to be terminating their people, and they're already short-staffed. And so who's going to suffer? It's the people who are in these homes.
Yeah.
So it is exactly what he said. I mean, that's just part of this whole coercion and this callous in disregard for human life.
Thank you for the call, Connie. Matt Staver with us from Liberty Council. The website, lc.org/vaccine. If you need help, you can also call 407-875-1776. Matt, thank you so much for being on the front lines on this particular issue.
Thank you, Jim. Good to be with you.
I'm Matt Staver from Liberty Council. Again, that's lc.org/vaccine. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.